الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Very briefly, a synopsis and a summary of what was recited in the Taraweeh last night will be put forward. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us. Last night in the Taraweeh, the first one and quarter para was recited, which commenced with Suratul Fatiha, and about half of Suratul Baqarah was recited, and which ended in the first quarter of the second para. The Taraweeh commenced with Suratul Fatiha. Suratul Fatiha, which is translated as the opening chapter, although Suratul Fatiha was not the first verses which were revealed by Allah Ta'ala, however, according to most commentators, it was the first surat revealed in its complete entirety. Prior to the revelation of Suratul Fatiha, other verses of the Quran Majid had already been revealed, and the revelation of the Suratul Fatiha was in the initial stages of Nabuwat, right in the beginning. And Suratul Fatiha is such a surah which the ulama have explained that it is actually a summary of the entire contents of the Quran Majid. The Quran Majid is actually the remaining portions of the Quran Majid is actually an elaboration and explanation of the central themes which have been mentioned in Suratul Fatiha. Suratul Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the main subject matter which is contained throughout the Quran Majid, and we can summarize the content matter of the Quran Majid into three themes. That is Tawheed, Risalat, and Akhirat, Qiyamat. In the first, second, and the fourth verse, indication is made to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third verse indicates towards Qiyamat, and the remainder of the ayats, the last two ayats, refer and indicate towards Risalat, as will be explained now. Since the surah is such a surah which contains the content matter of the entire Quran Majid, perhaps for that reason we have been commanded to recite Suratul Fatiha in every salat and in every rakat of every salat. Although behind the imam, for the Hanafis, we will not recite, but the imam's recitation will be sufficient for our recitation also of Suratul Fatiha. This surah, Allah Ta'ala commences with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and actually Allah Ta'ala teaches us in the surah how to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that we start with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that effectively and essentially all praise is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praises to any person or anyone for anything, in actual effect, it is actually praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By way of example, if a person praises a work of art, he is actually praising the artist, not the work of art itself. And praising the artist also is actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the ability and the talent and the expertise to do that work of art or anything which he now might be doing. So all praise is due for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, who is Rabbul Alameen, who is the sustainer, or we will say Allah Ta'ala is the nurturer of the Alameen. Alameen is the plural of Alam. Alam, it actually translates, normally is translated as universe, but here the plural form has been used, which means that every form of existence, no matter in which form it might be, whether it is concerning the human race, whether it is concerning the animals, the animals, the fish, the birds, the stars, the moon, the planets, and anything which a person now can see which is in existence is actually a different form of an alam. Perhaps it could also mean that this universe which we understand to be the universe is just according to our understanding. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom and in His knowledge, Allah might have created millions and billions of other universes which we are unaware of, which the scientists slowly they might be discovering, that they discover some new planet or they discover some new star in the sky. But that is just a very minute and very small portion of the knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, there is much more vastness in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his further attribute, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, which indicates to Allah ta'ala's compassion and mercy, referring to the fact that the creation of this universe and all what is in existence, it is not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken on this responsibility and it is like a burden to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is through the sheer mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of the entire universe. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the fourth attribute of Allah ta'ala, which is Maliki Yawm al-Din, that Allah ta'ala is the owner, Allah is the master of the day of requital, the day of recompense, which is the day of Qiyamah. Then we are told to declare that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whom we worship, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Iyaka, for those who know Arabic grammar, the word Iyaka, which is brought before the verb, which is the object, indicates that it is solely and exclusively, worship is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As an orator mentions that we should now in Urdu also say very clearly, Allah hi ki hum ibadat karte hai, that he must be emphasized, it mustn't sound like bi. Allah ki bi hum ibadat karte hai, that will now mean that a person gets involved in shirk. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whom we ask for help from. Outwardly we might ask for assistance in our worldly matters from others, but that does not negate the fact that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who grants assistance to everything. This world is Darul Asbab, and just as we use the means of the things of the world to do our work of the world, similarly, if we have to ask assistance because of some need, but in our mind we should understand it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides us assistance, and that person is actually just a means of providing that assistance to us. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the dua which we should be making. And this dua we recite in every time we recite Surah Fatiha, in every rakat of every salah. That a person should be conscious when he makes this dua, that oh Allah ta'ala guide us towards the straight path. The straight path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines it, that it is the path of those whom we have favored, and not the path of those who have incurred the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, nor the path of those who have gone astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates to the fact that Sirat al-Mustaqim is actually that path which the path of those whom Allah Ta'ala has favored. Allah could have mentioned in this verse that the Sirat al-Mustaqim is, for example, Sirat al-Quran. But Allah Ta'ala didn't mention that. Although the Quran Majid is the ultimate source of guidance, as mentioned in the beginning verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, but yet Allah Ta'ala defines Sirat al-Mustaqim as the path of those whom Allah Ta'ala has favored. Elsewhere in the Quran Majid, Allah Ta'ala mentions those people. Who are those people who have been favored by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Min al-Nabiyyin, wa-Siddiqeen, wa-Shuhada'i, wa-Salihin. They are the Anbiya alayhi salam, the path of the Anbiya, the path of the Siddiqeen, those who are true in every aspect, outwardly and inwardly, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Shuhada, the martyrs who gave the ultimate sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their lives, and the Salihin, those who are the righteous and the pious. So from this we understand that Quran-i-Majid, definitely it is the source of guidance, but without the Rijalullah, that is, besides Kitabullah, Rijalullah is also needed. That a person needs the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give that guidance which is contained in the Quran Majid, to give it effect. There is a need for Rijalullah. That is now indicated in this verse. And the Rijalullah are those whom we call the Allah Wala, those who are the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to stay in their company, meet with them, and to understand the true way of the Sirat al-Mustaqim, which Allah Ta'ala commands us to make dua of. And thereafter, by way of elimination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes Sirat al-Mustaqim, that it is not the path. That is now explanation of Sirat al-Mustaqim through a negative way. by way of elimination, that it is not the path of those who have incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly the Jews are being referred to, that these are the people who knowingly, knowing the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yet through their deceit, their treachery, and their evil ways, they interpolated and they changed the ways in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to suit their desires and their whims and their fancies and for monetary and worldly gain. So Allah ta'ala says it is not that path, nor is it the path of those who have gone astray, that is particularly referring to the Christians who through their excesses, in other words, excessive love for Isa alayhi salam, they raised him on the pedestal of divinity and made him the son of Allah Ta'ala, and some of them even believe Isa alayhi salam to be Allah Ta'ala himself, na'ud billah. So it is not that path. So these are the people whose ways Allah Ta'ala says that these are not their ways, that is not the way of the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. So this surah, So the indication is made in this last two verses towards Risalat also. So the whole themes of the Qur'an-i-Majeed, the subject matter of the Qur'an-i-Majeed is actually condensed in Surah Al-Fatiha. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then starts with Surah Al-Baqarah. The surah is a Madani surah. We should understand that Makki and Madani surah doesn't mean it was actually revealed in Mecca or Medina. The Makki surahs are those surahs which had been revealed prior to the hijrat and migration, whether actually in Medina or perhaps the surrounds of Medina. Same applies to the Madani surahs, that they were revealed after the hijrah, whether actually in Medina or perhaps on one of the journeys which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam undertook, but it is also called a Madani surah. The major portion of the surah was revealed in the initial stages or after hijrat, after migration, although some verses of the surah were also revealed in the latter part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life. The surah commences with Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim is actually the huruf-e-muqatta'at. The huruf-e-muqatta'at, all the mufassirin are unanimous that Allahu a'lamu bi-muradihi. Only Allah Ta'ala knows best his actual meaning, although some commentators were on the basis of possibility that they have mentioned some meanings to some of the huruf-e-muqatta'at, but in actual fact, only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows the meaning of these words. Also indicating to the Arabs, who had great pride in their language and their fasahat and balagat of the Arabic language, but Allah Ta'ala indicates to them that you claim to have command of the language, but yet you do not understand the meaning of even certain words, some alphabets, which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions in the beginning of some of the surahs. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that this kitab, there is no doubt in it whatsoever, and it is the guide for the muttaqeen. As if that dua which we made in Surah Al-Fatiha, this is a response to that dua. That we have made the dua that, oh Allah ta'ala, guide us towards the straight path. Allah ta'ala mentions that straight path you are asking for is contained in this kitab, the kitab in which there is no doubt. Some might say that many people say have doubts concerning the Qur'an-i-Majeed, whether it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to the kuffar. We should understand that one is the words of the Qur'an-i-Majeed and one is the understanding which people formulate in their minds with regards to the Qur'an-i-Majeed. That is now what the people doubt concerning the Qur'an-i-Majeed, is the doubt which they had formulated through their misguided understanding. Whereas actual fact, there is no doubt in the words of the Qur'an-i-Majeed that it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah ta'ala mentions hudal lil muttaqeen, that this Qur'an-i-Majeed is a guide for the muttaqeen. Elsewhere in the Qur'an-i-Majeed it is mentioned that the Qur'an-i-Majeed is hudal lil nas. It is a hidayat and source of guidance for all of mankind. But here specifically the muttaqeen have been mentioned because it is they, the muttaqeen, who actually take benefit from the Qur'an-i-Majeed. So specifically for them, whereas in general, the Qur'an-i-Majeed is a source of guidance for all of mankind. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this remainder of the first ruku, and then in the second ruku, approximately 20 ayat, Allah ta'ala then mentions the qualities of the believers. in two ayats, that is about five ayats, in about two ayats after that, referring to the kuffar, and thereafter, in the next ruku, 13 ayats are mentioned with regards to the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. So, there is an indication that first of all, we have to inculcate the qualities of iman within ourselves. Five qualities of the people of iman have been mentioned, that they believe in the unseen. Iman, as we're reading from the kitab, Islahul Aqaid, that iman and iman in the unseen, that is true iman. That is why towards Qiyamah, near Qiyamah, when the sun will rise from the west instead of from the east, from after that, no person's iman will be accepted, because then iman will ghaib, no more remains. That's why it is important that we believe everything which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had brought to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without reservation in the least bit. That is true iman. The slightest doubt concerning anything which is proven from the Quran Majeed and the authentic ahadith, that is contrary to true iman. The second quality is iqamat as-salat, that is the establishment and the correctness of our salat, and then to spend from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them, that is the qualities of the person, people of iman. Further on, they believe in whatever has been revealed upon you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also they have iman on all those things which was revealed prior to you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the previous Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. And the last quality is that they have firm conviction and certainty with regards to the hereafter. These are the qualities of the people of iman. Thereafter, the qualities of two ayats are mentioned concerning the kuffar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning them that Allah has placed a seal over their hearts and over their ears, and there is a veil over their eyes, through which they are not able to see the truth, hear the truth, and also perceive the truth, with the result that for them is an eternal punishment. Thereafter, concerning the munafiqeen, Allah Ta'ala mentions many ayat. Indication to this, that we should see whether these evil traits of the munafiqeen, who brought iman either to harm Islam from within, or either they brought Islam for their own personal benefit and to safeguard their interest. So we should be careful that these qualities of the munafiqeen are not within us. In the context of this ayat, there is a particular ayat, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. When it is told to the munafiqeen that bring iman, just as the people have brought iman. The people refers to, according to all the mufassirin, refers to the sahaba radiallahu anhu. There is an indication in this, that the iman of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, that is the criterion and scale of true iman. How the sahaba radiallahu anhum understood iman, that is the actual iman. Not how people many a time they understand iman through their own intellect and through their own understanding, which is not according to the way the sahaba radiallahu anhum understood iman. That is not true iman. So when it is told to them that bring iman as the people have brought iman, they say that should we bring iman as the foolish people brought iman. They call the sahaba radiallahu anhum foolish people. Allah Ta'ala says, Ala innahum humus sufaa. In reality, they are the foolish people, but they don't understand. They don't realize this. As we find today, many people, they, according to their understanding, they make up many beliefs and make up many ideologies, and they regard it to be part of iman. In reality, that is not part of iman, and they regard people of true iman to be the foolish people, whereas in reality they themselves are foolish people. Allah Ta'ala says they are summum bukmun umyun, they are spiritually deaf, dumb and blind, and they are such people who can't perceive and don't perceive the truth and the reality of the situation. In the ruku after that, Allah Ta'ala in a general way mentions, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. O people, Allah Ta'ala addresses all of mankind that worship Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala who has created you. Ibadat in the true sense of the word means to utilize all one's energies, all one's abilities in the total obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which we have been created, and to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of the awe and reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what is called abdiyat and servitude, and this is what we have been created for. Allah ta'ala grant us the true understanding of this. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the creation of Adam alayhi salam and the incident around the creation of Adam alayhi salam, in which Allah ta'ala demonstrated the superiority of insan, particularly Adam alayhi salam, over the other creations. The angels were ordered to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam. All obeyed, but Iblis, who used to stay amongst the angels, he refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. This sajda was for reverence and respect, whereas sajda for ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His refusal caused him to be banished from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The test which Allah ta'ala then presented to Adam alayhi salam and the angels shows the superiority of knowledge which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also mentioned in this ayat. From the fifth ruku onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Bani Israel, which particularly refers to the Jews. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba made hijrat to Madinatul Munawwara, people of Madinatul Munawwara who resided there were mainly the Jews, and who in and around Madinatul Munawwara. So Allah ta'ala addresses them. The word Israel, which even the country today which we call Israel, is actually Israel. Israel, actually the translation of it is Abdullah, the son, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Hebrew language, Isra, it means the servant, and Il means Allah. And this was actually the title of Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam was the son of Ishaq alayhi salam. And Ishaq alayhi salam was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. From Yaqub alayhi salam, his progeny, the entire Bani Israel came into existence, and the Jews came into existence, and they are, so Allah ta'ala addresses them, O children of Israel. Bani means children, referring to the Jews, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions his great bounties which he had blessed them with, but because of their insolence and because of their jealousy and their pride and because of their deceit, they refused to accept the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which made them eligible for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as happened in throughout their time of history, that on various occasions the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended upon them. Their deceit and their treachery and their being a menace and nuisance for humanity is to be witnessed up till today, which we see around us, what is happening around us. This is carrying on from those days already. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of many incidents here. There is no time to go into any details here, but Allah Ta'ala mentions his great bounties upon them, but how they did not make shukr of these bounties, and they were actually treacherous in their actions, were the result that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment came upon them and on various occasions. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this carries on for about a third of the para, and Allah ta'ala mentions in great detail many of the incidents. Amongst those incidents is the incident of the cow, for which the surah has been given its name, Al-Baqarah. Baqarah means the cow. Actually, an incident occurred wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to slaughter a cow. Any cow would have been sufficient, but they all made ifs and buts and this, and was the result that they eventually had to purchase a cow to slaughter, and to pay for it, they paid for it in the weight of gold. And this was all because of their treachery. Allah Ta'ala mentions also in the end of that incident, وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Very unlikely it was that they would obey and fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because there was a great need for them to fulfill this command of Allah ta'ala, they eventually had to do it, but they had to pay a very great price for it. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam, whom the Jews and the Christians regarded Ibrahim alayhi salam to be on their creed and their way. Whereas elsewhere in the Quran Majid, Allah ta'ala mentions, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian, but he was on Deen-e-Hanif. He was on the deen and the creed of Hanif, which means disinclining from all evil ways and inclining only towards the true way, and Musliman. And he was a Muslim. Muslim person who is now completely submissive and obedient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's story is mentioned here. Allah ta'ala put him through various tests, and he passed all those tests in a good way, for which Allah ta'ala makes him, Allah ta'ala mentions, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. We have made him a guide and an imam for the entire human race. Ibrahim alayhi salam is called Abul Anbiya, the father of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, his one son was Ismail alayhi salam, from whose progeny eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, and all the Arabs came from there also. And the other son was Ishaq alayhi salam, from whom Yaqub alayhi salam was born, and from there the whole Bani Israel and all the Anbiya alayhi salam from the Bani Israel came from there. That's why he is called Abul Anbiya. Everybody tried to pull Ibrahim alayhi salam towards their side, that he was a Jew or he was a Christian. Allah Ta'ala says he was neither a Jew or a Christian. He was prior, his time and era was prior to that. But he was Hanif a Muslimah, and he was completely submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. Further on, the construction of the Kaabatullah, Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded by Allah Ta'ala, and together with his son they constructed the Baytullah, which is the landmark and distinguishing feature of Islam and Iman, and of Tawheed also. Mention of that is also made here. In the second para, in the beginning, the incident of the changing of the Kaaba, direction of the Qibla is mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, initially when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat towards Madinatul Munawwara for 16 or 17 months, the Qibla by Allah ta'ala was determined to be Baytul Maqdis, which was actually the Qibla of the Christians and the Jews also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his wisdom commanded the Muslims to perform salat in that direction. But after 16 or 17 months, according to the desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, Allah ta'ala then changed the direction of the Qibla back to Baytullah, Kaabatullah in Makkatul Mukarramah, for which these people made a big uproar, and they made a big commotion. And Allah ta'ala said, Allah ta'ala mentions concerning them that these foolish people, they began saying that what made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims change their direction of the Qibla, what made them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the direction of any side is not the prerogative, it is not the actual thing. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the actual thing which has to be obeyed, and whether Allah ta'ala commands us to face in the direction of the east or the west or any other direction, that is the direction which we have to face to and to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An important verse in the context of these verses is وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah ta'ala does not destroy the iman of the people. Here iman refers to particularly to salat. Because many people said that, oh, for 17, 16 months we perform salat in that direction, now it has been changed. And what about the salat which we perform in that direction? Has it gone to waste? Allah Ta'ala says it hasn't gone to waste. Salat has been called iman. And we all know salat is the main fundamental pillar of Islam and iman also. So the importance of salat can also be gauged from these verses. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of his great creations. To recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should recognize, we should ponder over his great creation through which the power and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be established. Further on, towards the end of that quarter, Allah ta'ala then mentions that, O people, eat from that which is halal and tayyib. Halal and tayyib, in particular, Allah ta'ala gives command to do this, because the consumption of halal and tayyib, which is wholesome, is very conducive to us making the true ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moment a person goes away from halal and tayyib, then a person falls into the traps of shaitan, as Allah ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Immediately after that verse. So it is very important that we now make sure that whatever we consume is halal and tayyib, and we should be very particular in that regard also.